Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 321, Not to Scale. Tuesday, December 19th, 2023. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Support for this audio podcast comes from Ko-fi contributors. You can find a link to my Ko-fi page on the Yarns at Yin Hu website or on the links I post to my page on Instagram. You can become a member, monthly supporter, or just make a one-time contribution. And each quarter, there is a prize drawing for everyone who has made a contribution during that quarter. The next prize drawing will take place on the winter solstice, so that's on or after December 22nd, 2023. And this prize pack is really great because it includes a whole bunch of goodies that I collected while I was at the New York Sheep and Wool Festival this past October. Thank you so much to everyone who has recently made a contribution or become a member. There's been a lot of activity recently on the Ko-fi page, and I am so grateful. It lets me know that you're out there listening and that you appreciate what I'm doing in making the podcast. It means so much. Today's episode features the following segments: On the Porch and Off the Shelf. I hope you have been doing well since I spoke to you on the last episode. It is cold and dark here on Tuesday evening near Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania. We had a monumental amount of rain and there's a lot of flooding around. Not enough to do any school closure, but just enough to become a nuisance. And Samuel and I have been working on staying warm and staying dry. Orange, the cafe in Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, that features coffee, art, and music, is now open on weekends. If you're local or you'd be in the area, you might want to follow Orange Coffee Art Music on Instagram or on Facebook. I don't do too much activity on Facebook, but I know Samuel posts over there as well. And we'd love to see you at the cafe if you can make it. I've been very much enjoying the Advent season this year. And one of the things that has made it incredibly enjoyable is the Advent puzzle swap that I hosted here on the podcast. I am paired with PMC Freeburn on Instagram, and I have been making the most darling puzzle of like a kitchen shelf with herbs hanging down and oil and vinegar and a cat sitting on the counter. And this puzzle construction is so completely different from anything I've ever done before because there are regularly shaped puzzle pieces, and then there are really large puzzle pieces. Like the teapot is one giant piece, and the cat is another, and there's a teacup that's another, and they're all kind of held into the puzzle by other regular puzzle pieces. So each morning, I've been dumping out a little bag of puzzle pieces and making that portion of the puzzle. It's bright and colorful, and I've been doing it without looking at the painting on the front of the box, without really referring to anything. I just kind of use my already made puzzle as a reference and just try to assemble the pieces themselves if I can't figure out where the next section starts to go. And it all comes together in just a few minutes each day. And then I follow that with some spinning that I'll talk about a little bit later. In addition to the puzzle pieces that are all packaged up for me, Pam also put in some really darling goodies, and she didn't write any directions for them. So I'm just every few days, I'm just opening one of these little packages. And so far, I've received the cutest teeny tiny hand knit sweater on a teeny tiny hanger that's a tree ornament. Oh my goodness, it's so cute. As well as a little chicken ornament. I'm not sure, but I think it might be like an Ann Wood pattern. It's just this really whimsical little chicken ornament made with scraps and some pieces of felt. And then also this beautiful winter white Christmas tree knitted and stuffed with some beads that sparkle. I've been thinking about how much I enjoy the charm of things that are not to scale, including this puzzle. Yes, it's a kitchen counter, kind of kitchen scene, but the objects in it are not exactly to scale, and it makes it like really whimsical and fun. The same is true of my Christmas village. I have these beautiful pottery pieces. They're kind of like crudely made and enameled pottery that I partly purchased and partly was given as a gift through the Woolly Thistle many years ago now. And it's made by a Scottish potter, and there's a Kirk and several Croft Hooses and a Bothy. And then I've knit all variety of little trees to go with this village. And then, of course, the tree that Pam gave me is towering over everything. So that's what I mean. Like, it's not to scale, but it just really comes together in this charming way. So I've been enjoying that and enjoying my mornings in December. And I can't believe that, you know, tomorrow's the 20th and we're already that far into December. I hope you're doing well and weathering what can be very difficult times around the holidays. I find this time of year very difficult as an adult, whereas I never did as a child. So I can appreciate and respect that everyone might not be having a holly jolly Christmas or, you know, feeling full of the spirit, so to speak. It can be rough. And I hear you if you're one of those folks for whom it is rough. I would like to welcome new listeners to the Yarns at Yinhu podcast. A few days ago, The Moon and the Furrow made a post on Instagram about an intention to read Women Who Run with the Wolves, reread, I should say, because it was clear that she has a lot of experience with this text, but to reread Women Who Run with the Wolves in 2024 and do some knitting along with a pattern collection that I put out a while back. And there was quite a bit of interest, a lot of likes for this post and comments, and I received many new followers on Instagram as a result. So if you are new, welcome. The title of my podcast, Yarns at Yinhu, refers to Yinhu Chaoyuan, Silver Lake Tea House, which is a replica, a 1922 replica of a Chinese tea pavilion near Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, where I live. And my partner Samuel and I have worked to restore and refurbish and renovate this small tea house over the course of many years. And so it's where we live, where I work on my projects. And we've kind of moved from working on the home itself to working on some of the grounds and kind of keeping an eye of sustainability on everything that we do. I mentioned a collection of knitting patterns that are connected to Women Who Run with the Wolves, and they can be found on Ravelry as well as being available for purchase through my Ko-fi page. And thank you to everyone who has made a purchase or is considering one. Back when I worked on this pattern series, I had 4 patterns in mind. And just with a combination of being distracted by other things and Twinset Ellen, on whom I had been relying very closely for tech editing on my patterns, kind of stepping away to move on to, you know, other exciting things, I decided to ask her to help me with a different kind of pattern as kind of our last engagement together, rather than really pushing forward with the 4th and final pattern for Women Who Run with the Wolves. And I've been thinking, actually all this year, I have been thinking about that design that I had in mind so long ago, and of pushing forward and working to write it up and have it test knit and maybe work on finding a different tech editor to take a look and help me make sure that it's ready for knitters to be successful. So maybe this is sort of like the sign, the little push that I needed to get going on this and start working on the pattern, the 4th and final pattern in 2024. I'll let you know. But as it stands now, there's a sock pattern, a cowl pattern, and a hat pattern. And they all have connections to Women Who Run with the Wolves. And it seems like a really cool, loosely structured, but happily focused project that the Moon and the Furrow is interested in taking on. So I'll link some of that in the show notes and link to the Moon and Furrow page. And she's advising or asking everyone to use hashtag moonwolves, M-A-L, to identify their work so that we could build community and see what's going on. On the Porch is a segment where I talk about projects that I'm currently working on. And since I recorded last, I have spent all my energy on one single project. It's a test crochet for a loose fitting top with some ruffle elements as embellishments, designed by Mesa Tomikawa. And the pattern is called Core, K-O-R-E. When Mesa Tomikawa releases a design, she usually does so in both knit and crochet versions. And I was very pleased to be selected for the crochet version of this top. It is done on relatively small hook, so it's taken me quite a while to work this up because I'm just not as familiar or as handy with crochet as I am with knitting. And because I've been experiencing some symptoms of neuropathy that kind of slow me down a little bit. So I have nevertheless enjoyed working on this design quite a bit. I'm using yarns from Pearl Soho. For the main body of this loose-fitting top, I'm using linen quill in the dark, I think it's dark iris color. And for the ruffles, I'm using the mohair silk blend called Tussock in colorways Saffron, which is this gorgeous saffron yellow, and Anjou Pear, which is a pink that's a little bit brighter and deeper than a blush pink. It's a very pleasing color, and in combination with the yellow, I think it looks very interesting. So I have completed the body of the top. I've seamed it up, and I've completed the saffron colored ruffle and line of stitching. And now I'm working on the Anjou Pear color. I think I will do the second ruffle not quite as voluminous as the first. There's a point at which you double the stitch count, and that is a lot of stitches and makes a really tight, full ruffle. But I think for the second ruffle, I just might go a little bit looser and see how that goes. I have really enjoyed working on this, and I'm going to enjoy styling it and doing some photos. Our deadline is the end of December, but I'm planning to complete the project before that so that, number one, I can get some good photos very quickly, and number two, I am itching to cast on a knitting project with my title yarns purchase from New York Sheep and Wool Festival. Once again, that design by Mesa Tomikawa is Core, K-O-R-E, and it should come out in knit and crochet versions in late January of 2024. I mentioned at the top of the episode that I have been spinning, and this year I decided to embark on a 100 days project. I like to start a 100 days project on Black Friday, and based on past 100 day projects, that takes me, from experience I know, into early March. And my plan is to spin for at least 15 minutes a day. So far, that's been in the mornings, the very early mornings, even prior to my yoga practice, I'm spinning. And I started off by picking up on a spinning project I started this summer after purchasing co-purchasing a fleece from Lenore of Shepherd's Hay Farm. Lenore is a Romney Corriedale Rommeldale cross in a beautiful deep brown color. I got a quarter of the fleece and washed and carded it over the summer, and I now have 16 bats. I'm actually down to 8 bats because I've spun 4 bats onto each of 2 bobbins, and I have 2 additional singles bobbins to spin, and then I'll be creating a 2-ply from those singles. My wheel is a Louette S10 double treadle. It's my first wheel. It's my only wheel. I learned to spin at a class hosted by Betty of the Spinnery in Frenchtown, New Jersey. She is a wonderful person and a fabulous teacher. She taught a 4-session series spinning course one winter. I think she still runs this course periodically over the course of the year. So you go for 4 Saturdays for like the better part of a day. And on the first session, we had drop spindles, and we learned a lot of the principles of spinning and learned about fleece. And then on the second Saturday when we walked in, she had a whole bunch of wheels set up in a circle, and she invited us to sit in front of one of them and start using it to spin. And I sat in front of this Luette and I never moved, even though she encouraged us to move around. I never moved. And then she said we could take a wheel home and keep spinning over the week. I took the Luette home. And at the conclusion of the course, I bought that wheel from her. It was a used wheel or lightly used wheel, and she sold it with a yarn winder that sits on the top. And then shortly thereafter, Samuel purchased for me an additional Lazy Kate and two additional bobbins. And this has been my wheel. I've never been tempted by another wheel or to replace this wheel. It was good for me as a beginner, and it's good for me now that I am a little more adept with spinning. And I thought I would talk a little bit today about the wheel and why I like it so much. And also to let you know what I plan to knit, provided I have the correct yardage when I'm done plying, what I plan to knit with this Lenore spin when I'm done. So the Luette S10 double treadle looks like a wheel made by IKEA. It's very stripped down and simple in blonde wood, no adornment, just really, really straight up spinning wheel. It almost looks like it might not work as a spinning wheel. They're made in Holland, and I think they are quite an affordable price point for a really sturdy wheel. This wheel is easy to move around. It is not a travel wheel, but it's easy to travel with it in my car. I strap it into the back seat, just kind of like a person. It just sits right on the seat and I can strap it in. I can move it around my home very easily, and yet it's quite sturdy when I'm spinning on it. It is a bobbin-driven wheel. So the band goes around one of three different grooves in the bobbin itself, and that creates different kinds of spinning action. So you can adjust it to one of three settings. There's, I guess, something that people would say about this wheel is that it has quite a bit of uptake, like a very strong uptake. It's pulling your fiber out of your hand. For that reason, I find it very comfortable to use with woolen prepped fibers and woolly wools, kind of like sticky, disorganized kinds of wools. Case in point, this Lenore, which I prepared bats on a drum carder. So the fiber is kind of like mixed up and disorganized. It's great for this kind of spinning wheel. I don't think it's as comfortable to spin on this wheel, especially as a beginner, if the goal is to use like really silky or slippery kinds of fiber. I think that can easily get away from you as a spinner. I put almost no tension when I'm spinning, and it still like pulls in the single really quickly. I like this Luette because the bobbins have a very high capacity. I can put a 4 ounce braid or bat on a single bobbin, which is saying a lot. So you can really have a lot of storage on those bobbins. And you could spin different kinds of art yarns and pretty thick yarn without getting a special art yarn flyer. Because the bobbin capacity is pretty high, and also because the orifice is quite large. I've never needed an orifice hook or anything like that. I can just stick my finger in and pull the singles or the yarn right through the orifice without any problem at all. So it's quite versatile as a wheel without purchasing a lot of additional equipment. What else did I want to say about it? I've never had any problems with how it spins or any tension issues. I have an extra band for the wheel, and I haven't, of course, I'm jinxing myself now by saying that, but I've never used it. I'm just very careful to take the tension off that band when I'm done working with it. And I'm still using the same band that I bought with the wheel. Yeah, I think this Louette S10 double treadle is a really great wheel. I'm very fortunate to have this wheel and to, you know, continue spinning on it through my spinning journey. I am spinning these bats sort of the way they want to be spun. I'm not trying to have a lot of impact on the overall product. I'm just sort of letting this fiber spin the way it wants to be spun, and that is pretty fine. And I think that once I have a two ply, it will be between like a fingering and a sport weight. I like to try and put more twist in the singles, less twist in the ply. That creates like a nice, soft, supple yarn with a little bit of drape the way I like it. And that is the kind of yarn that I want for the knitting project that I would like to make with this yarn, which is a pattern called Hatsuki by a Japanese designer named Rieviv, R-I-E-V-I-V-E, Rieviv. And the pattern, once again, is Hatsuki. It's a short-sleeved pattern for a sweater top that's quite wide, and it has the feature of a very wide rib and also a lace motif in the shape of leaves going up in a very asymmetrical way on the front of the sweater. I think it's very beautiful, and the photographs of this sweater on the project page are pretty much the exact same color that I'm going to get with this fiber from Lenore. It's a very deep, sumptuous kind of brown. And the designer recommends a yarn with a bit of drape in it. And I think that's what I can achieve with this spin. And so I continue spinning every day for 100 days. I'm about halfway through spinning the singles at this point, and I imagine that I will finish the spin before the 100 days are up, in which case I'll probably shift to doing some spindle spinning again and then create a kind of combo spin, like a wild and crazy combo spin on my wheel with spindle spun singles. I've done this before. It's just a ton of fun and creates some really wild, textured, colorful yarn that can be difficult to find a project. but I have a few ideas, and I've had a few success stories with a spin like this. So I think I'll be ready to plunge into that again and really keep that 100 days of spinning going until early March. I find the act of spinning very grounding, very centering, a really helpful thing for this kind of chaotic time of year around the holidays. And even though at first I had some pangs that I didn't go with something that was more like Instagrammable and fun to photograph, I'm pleased that I've been able to stick with it because it really matters to me and I really care about it. And, you know, I haven't even I haven't even considered skipping a day. I feel like this is becoming a habit and a pattern in my life, and I'm really, really happy about that. Off the Shelf is a segment, the segment with which I usually close an episode, where I share some literature or most frequently a poem. And I've just found myself reading a lot of Naomi Shihab Nye's poetry lately. This poem is new. I believe it's very new. And it came to me by way of poet Camille Dungy's Instagram post. And she referenced a project called Public Square. And there's kind of like a curated poetry aspect to Public Square. This is available on all social media platforms, so I will be sure to link it in the show notes because I think some of you might be interested in it. And in addition to the text of the poem I'm about to share, there's also an audio recording of Naomi Shihab Nye herself reading this poem. Naomi Shihab Nye is the poet who made me aware that contemporary voices, especially contemporary female voices, could be very powerful. I saw her reading at a poetry festival in New Jersey when I was in college. I fell in love with her and her work. She was an educator for a very long time, so I felt like I could really connect with the way she talked and especially the way she worked with younger poets. And I've enjoyed reading her poetry, her collections of poetry, where she collects poetry of others. And I think her voice has particular resonance right now. She's a Palestinian American writer, and she's attuned to the challenges and the difficulties of negotiating what is going on in the Middle East and what Americans are experiencing as a result of that. She doesn't come out shouting or, you know, banging a drum or making some big statement. She proceeds in a very quiet, methodical way to help us see very small things that are nevertheless very powerful. This is her poem, In Mourning, and mourning is M-O-R-N-I-N-G. Naomi Shihab Nye. The Palestinian child does not think about being Palestinian, but only of how his kitten slept last night and why it is not in its basket. Before he walks to school, he will find it playing with neighbor kittens outside his house and make sure it has breakfast. The Ukrainian child checks her doll in its crib, which is really a box shoes once lived in, and tucks the blanket, which is really a napkin, tighter. The Libyan child thought he lived in a desert, so how could his house wash away? The Moroccan child never dreamed a building so old with such fat walls could fail. The child of Maui never wears socks, but someone has given him socks. He misses his old messy room, which he would clean right up now if he still had it. Each morning, we put ourselves together. Try to imagine what we will do, gathering things, thoughts, mysteries no one explains. Scary things feel farther away in mourning. We try not to worry. Wash face, brush teeth, be as good as possible, because the stones lined up by the grandfathers are still somewhere, and the wind from the west is still your friend, and the little gray bird pecking at a crumb said something we almost understood. The Palestinian child does not think about being Palestinian, but only of how his kitten slept last night and why is it not in its basket. Before he walks to school, he will find it playing with neighbor kittens outside his house and make sure it has breakfast. The Ukrainian child checks her doll in its crib, which is really a box shoes once lived in, and tucks the blanket, which is really a napkin, tighter. The Libyan child thought he lived in a desert, so how could his house wash away? The Moroccan child never dreamed a building so old with such fat walls could fall. The child of Maui never wears socks, but someone has given him socks. He misses his old, messy room, which he would clean up right now if he still had it. Each morning, we put ourselves together. Try to imagine what we will do. Gathering things, thoughts, mysteries no one explains. Scary things feel farther away in morning. We try not to worry. Wash face, brush teeth, be as good as possible because the stones lined up by the grandfathers are still somewhere. And the wind from the west is still your friend. And the little gray bird pecking at a crumb said something we almost understood. Thank you so much for listening. I wish you a wonderful and restful week with time for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.